If you bet $100 to $150 or whatever you bet, if you can't beat that card that the dealer turns up, you lose your money. Or you lose in the junk game, you lose your stuff. There was brand new sleds sitting outside the house, dogs. And Moses, I was going to tell you about Moses. He was sitting in the middle of the floor, just naked. He had shorts on, however, that's all he had on. He lost all his clothes in the pot, too.
Why did they ask you to settle it up?
Well, see, I was chief or something. That's the reason they asked me to settle their game up. Anything I said went with the people of the village.
Well, how was it they'd usually settle up something like that?
How, what?
Did they ever get in a fix like that before?
No. That's the first time I ever settled a game. I told each one to take back whatever you lost and just start over again. I'd be darned if they would start over again. They learned their lesson from playing the red dog that time. Right to today, I never seen no red dog played anywhere. My girl, that requires a lot of money. Or it was junk game, but the fellas lost all their belongings that way.
Well, that's a pretty good story. Maybe we should take a break for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is June.
You haven't seen Patty.
No, we haven't seen Patty. We haven't.
No.
Not yet.
Roger Dayton.
Okay, this is June 27th, talking to Billy McCarty Sr. in his cabin in Ruby. Okay, let's see. Where were we anyway? We'd gone through the 30s, I think.
Yeah, I think we did.
And you were out trapping up on the Slatna?
Yes. Till I went blind.
And that was in 55?
Yeah, just around there someplace. 1955 or 56.
Do you remember taking your kids out trapping sometimes? Or out hunting?
I took them out the first year. And I thought it was too much work. So I built a house in Cochrane's and I left them there in the winter, and I go trapping.
Alaska Medicine? Yeah, I did a part of CERM race.
I had my family out just once, 1 year.
So how did they like staying in Cochrane's then?
You have to type all of them? It was all right.
What did they do there?
They went to school and they lived there the whole winter. In the summer, we moved down to our fish camp. And I bored the dogs. And whenever a fish running slack, I cut the little wood.
How are you fishing those days? What did you use?
Have dog feet, cut dog fish for sale. As there was dog team yesterday's days, and the mail carriers took the brunt of the fish.
So you boarded dogs then?
Yeah. I boarded as high as 120 or 30 dogs. Gee, there was lots of noise up there at the evening, when the evening meal comes on. I boarded everybody's dogs around here, and a few dogs from the outside, Rube, Don Greener, and people all along.
Any people's dogs in particular?
These local dogs, I took them all here in Ruby. There's dogs there that so used to going up in the spring that they'd walk aboard my boat themselves. And when I delivered them back in the fall, I never tied a dog up. Just let them run home. I remember Bill Carlos' dogs. They know when they're going up to camp, and they just walk aboard themselves.
Those dogs ever give you a problem?
No. I never had no problem. If we have a talk with each customer, and if I lose a dog, I pay for it. And any dogs getting chewed up or anything, I was willing to pay for it. But nothing like that ever occurred.
Must have been a lot of work to board that many dogs.
Oh, it was not much work. Feed them every night. Cook for them all in 50-gallon drums. It was no trouble for me. As I was young then days, and now work, like I said, work never bothered me.
You get your kids to help you out?
Well, some of them. When if they're able to. I generally pay a big fellow to work with me in the fish camp. There are put up strips. Well, we did. I and my wife. We made a lot of strips and salmon bellies, sides, besides the dog feet. We only charged 20 cents or 20 to 25 cents a pound for a fish. And look at nowadays, they're getting $1 a salmon, $1.50.
Well, even at those prices, was it a good business when you were doing it?
No, it did a very good business. We made a good living.
You folks ever go out and pick berries then?
We did. In the summer, the berries was right close to us. You pick salmon berries in the spring and or early summer, and blueberries come after 4th of July. When they're ripe, we could pick all kinds of berries, rosebud berries and everything. We go along the hillsides in them gullies and pick, currants for winter use. Cranberries, they were thick. Some years the blueberries wouldn't be thick as heavy, and some years it's a heavy crop.
So what did you do with the berries after you pick them?
We should store them in barrels and can some. I ordered 1,000 cans of over from Sears Roebuck, and I get a sealer and pressure cooker, but toward the end I discarded the pressure cooker because it was too slow. In canning meats and fish, berries, we had to have a big cooker. So I made it one out of a 50-gallon drum. There, I cooked several hundred cans at a time in it.
So how did that work?
Oh, that worked fine.
You just cut the top off and fill it up with cans?
Yeah. And we put the lid over to keep them submerged in water. And they cook pretty fast.
So how long do they have to cook in that thing?
Oh, from an hour and a half. Two hours from each.
That's 2 hours with the water boiling?
Yeah. And the cans are submerged, they're heavy. Cast drum top that I cut off for. I laid on top of the cans. Just keep them submerged. And I just poured a little water. In it when it needs it. Whenever the water is boiled away, I use an open fire. On rainy days, we cook in the house in the canner. But daytime I'd use an open fire outdoors.
So when you're doing that, and your kids might have been, say, 10 years old, what did they do?
They helped around, do chores.
What kind of chores?
Everything that we have to do in life, like getting the wood or packing the water. They helped me some quite considerably in taking care of the dogs. I learned them, all my kids to work. So nowadays you can talk to any one of the kids and say they had a great life.
Sounds like it would be really good for a kid, too.
Yes.
You try to train them up to do certain things?
It just came naturally with them.
Did you ever tell them certain things about how it was they should live and what sorts of things they should do? And
no, I have from time to time.
What kind of things would you tell them?
I told them something that would be useful in their life. So that they could, when they go on their own, they know what to do for themselves.
What kind of things did they want to do?
I don't know. A little of everything. Some wanted to go trapping. Some wanted to come along cutting wood. But you can't tell that to kids nowadays. I think the government is at fault on that. The government especially the girls, the government gives them a pension for every kid they have. And I myself had some trouble in that. But I've been wanting another mate. But it'd be darned if I can get one. Because the government gives that woman some aid or something. Well, she depends on the government's money, and they wouldn't marry a fella if he asked them for to be their wife. there's some old timers that are willing to marry a fellow, but not for very long though.
Hard to find somebody steady these days, huh?
Yeah. Living is different altogether in the last 30 or 35 years. Or 40.
What kind of changes have you seen?
Oh, everything has changed. We old fellows, we can notice the change in the world.
What kind of things do you notice?
Me? I notice everything is changing so bad. I just couldn't cope, couldn't figure out. Especially when I went blind, since things happened before I went blind that never happened before, and things are happening every day now since I went blind. Yeah, and I just can't keep up with the trend of life. You're drinking, you got nothing else to do but drinking. In the early days, there was no drinking amongst the people. There was very little drinking compared with nowadays.
What sort of things would make it easier for a blind person?
I don't know what would make it easier.
They ever have seeing-eye dogs?
Yeah, I've been figuring on getting one for the last 9 years now, or 10. But I decided not to get one, because I'll be walking around through the streets and get into a dog fight. Have my seeing eye dog chewed up. Maybe in cities like Fairbanks or Anchorage would be better. I watched them, the fella in Fairbanks one time, I walked all the way up to Cushman Street. Just to see what that dog would do when I could see. He wants to cross the street, he'd stop. And he'd look up and down, and when he'd see it's all clear to go across, he'd lead his master across the street, and he'd go to some business houses like he knows where he's going.
How would you like a cup of coffee?
Did you make the coffee yet, Glenn?
Glenn took off, but the coffee's here.
Oh.
Yeah, he made coffee for you. Here it is. Here you go.
Oh, you had some coffee along with you?
No, Glenn made it. He went and got some. You like it just black?
Yeah. Just the way it is, all right.
Well, Billy, we're curious about what it's like for you, you know, how it is these days that older people are treated compared to, say, 50 years ago.
Well, they treat the old people pretty good nowadays. We have no kick coming at all. In the old days, we had to make a living till we die. We had to work. I seen the old people, from what I seen of the old people was out hunting, fishing, cutting steamboat wood. There was lots of steamboats them days. And you could always get a job cutting steamboat wood or fish, or they go hunting. That's how we made the old people made their living in this country. There was no such thing as pensions, old age pensions or Social Security. When I worked at DNC in 47, 48, 49, and 50, I was so dumb I didn't get no Social Security for that work. But I'm getting Social Security now, though. Like I said, I was a self-employed fella, and I never worked for wages very much, especially since I got married. I worked for myself, being my own boss. We had no snow machines up the time till I went blind, no chainsaws, and we had to work the hard way with 6-foot man saws. For transportation, we had to hitch up our dogs. No snow goes yet in those days. When the airplane come, by God, that cut out the dogs and the roadhouse. along the river. They couldn't. They had to turn to something else.
You don't have to be quiet. We got set on loud. So it's pretty good these days for old people then.
Yeah. We're all getting disabled pensions and pensions. And you got... A person got to be 60 or 65 before they get a pension. In this country, I think the old fellows, they when they get 60, they're disabled to work or something. I believe in not waiting that much longer, 65. But I got my pensioners. I had no trouble. I was a welfare agent here for years at Cochrane's. And that's my belief in it. That they should, those people are all gone now. When I started to get a pension, I was blind. I had another call a tough time, but I was fishing, and I couldn't see the dogs or their dog pans anymore. And I threw my hands in the air and I said, I'll go to town to the old woman. She was cutting fish on the cutting raft that I built, along with other women, two or three fish cutters I had. I said, I'm going to town. Damned if I can find the dogs anymore. Some dogs, I watered them in the mornings and the evenings before feeding time, I pour a little water in their cans. Yeah, I just missed the can. I was unable to see good. Still, I wouldn't get a pension. Aid. I was too proud of myself. I said, as long as I can work, I said, I'm not going to receive any pension from the government. But that day, I remember well, I got in the boat and me and some of the boys, the kids, Billy especially, he drives the boat for me and I walked up to the welfare agent, and I said, I'll give in. She was asking me to get a pension 2-3 years before that. And I said, no, I don't need it yet. And I went up to her and I said, I'll make the application for aid now. He said, it's about time. Well, I said, I had all kinds of business. and I was doing good, but this morning I finally threw my hands up in the air and I said, I'm gonna quit. I'll draw a pension or aid. And our aid wasn't much those days. We was getting very little aid. Still, I never kicked it. I was glad to get a few dollars extra in order to make a good living. We started on 40 or 50 a month. Look what it is now today. Put near 500. And they're raising it yet. And although I haven't asked for any raise at no time, they're raising the pensions and social securities.
So after that, were there certain people helped you out a lot?
No. Unless we paid them. Some people, my relatives, they helped me a lot. Like moose meat, fish.
Any people in particular?
Who helped me?
Yeah.
It's my daughters and my sons. Some of my friends.
So did your son usually drive the boat after that?
He drove the boat. Or any one of them drove the boat. Billy or Alan or Harold, he's up at Rampart. Harold McCarty. Morris was too young, and Patty was too young.
So did they keep the fish camp going after that?
No. They didn't. When I went, after I got pension, I tried it one more summer, but they had to do all most of the heavy, the work around the camp. I couldn't do any of the heavy work like I used to. So we just continued the fish camp.
Where was that camp?
It's 3 miles above here. I got that ground there. Where a lot of a 180 acres or something. If I'm right. So the surveyors surveyed the ground 1 mile. 1 mile upriver, or half a mile each way from the camp, up and down, and half a mile back. That surveyed and supposed to be surveyed, but they ain't surveyed yet. But last year, they wrote me, the land office wrote to me, said that I can claim it now. That it's mine. Last year, they sent somebody from the office. They just measured the land off, and that's all they done. I got the creek, blueberries, some years the blueberries would be abundant there, up all around those mountains. Altona used to go up there and pick berries about a mile this side of there. Her old fish camp.
Anybody using that ground now?
No. No one is using it. But I had little tune matches with one sweeter. Over the fish wheel site. Well, I wouldn't use it anymore anyhow. But I figured my boys would want to use the fish camp, the fish wheel site, whenever they want to fish. I had a fellow, one, this sweeter I was telling you about. He went right up there. I rented to him one or two summers, and then after that he took over. He never even got a fish out of the deal that I made with him. He was supposed to give me a fish once in a while. The other fellow lived up to his promise. He had the other fish wheel site on this side of the camp, and he brought me fish whenever I needed one.
Who is that?
Oh, just he's outside now. I guess he's got a family up. He has a family here in town, but I guess they're in Fairbanks now. Barnes, they call him. Barnes or Barnes. He has quite a family in town here.
Okay, go ahead.